The word angel appears 117 times in the Old Testament. It appears 184 times in the New Testament. The word angel appears in 17 books of the Old Testament and in 18 books of the New Testament. Brethren, angels are all over the Bible. They're all over the Bible. Now, so that we all can get on the same page and understand, let's get a definition of exactly what and who we're talking about. What is an angel? The Old Testament Hebrew word for angel is malach. The New Testament Greek word for angel is angelos. Both the Old Testament word and the New Testament word mean the same thing. An angel in both testaments signify the sending of a messenger. An angel is a messenger. There was a scholar who lived in the 4th century. His name was Augustine. Augustine defined an angel with this definition, quote, "By nature, an angel is a spirit. By office, he is a messenger." That definition is just spot on. By nature, an angel is a spirit being. That's what it is. But the office, that is, what it does, is that it was used as a messenger. Thus, when we go to the Bible, we find that frequently angels were used by God to send messages to man. So in Genesis 19, there are two angels who give Lot a message. In Daniel, the 8th chapter, there is an angel who is sent to give Daniel a message in all places in Babylonian captivity. In Judges, the 13th chapter, an angel announces the birth of Samuel. In Matthew chapter 1, an angel gives Joseph a message about Mary's pregnant condition. In Luke chapter 1, an angel comes to Zacchaeus and gives him a message. In Acts, the 8th chapter, an angel tells Philip the evangelist that he is to go down on the desert road and meet the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts, the 10th chapter, an angel tells Cornelius he is to send to the city of Joppa for the apostle Peter. In Acts, the 12th chapter, there is an angel who comes to Peter in prison, and the angel does two things. It reaches out and touches him, and then it speaks to him and delivers him a message. All through the Bible, God used these messengers to relate messages from heaven, from God, to earth, to man. Does everybody understand where we're at so far? Say amen. Amen. Now, beyond the delivering of messages, what other works were angels engaged in? What other role did angels play in the scriptures? And I don't believe in sneaking up on anybody, so let me get this all out front. This message will stand on its own, but this message, hearing this message first, will help you to understand the message that's coming next. And in the conclusion, if God allows me to live that long, I'll explain how that's so. Are you still with me? Now, what do angels do? What have they done? What do they currently do? And I want to share with you four things that angels have either have done or that they are still doing or will do. Four things. Number one, if you take notes, that's a great thing. Number one, angels were involved in the revealing of the scriptures. Now, everybody get access to a Bible. Let's do this. We're here. Let's learn something. And if I can do what I want to do here, when you leave here, you will shake your head and think, man, God's got something going. Acts chapter 7. Turn to Acts chapter 7. This is Stephen's sermon before the Jewish Sanhedrin. The greatest sermons found in the New Testament are those that are preached by Jesus. Outside of the sermons that are preached by Jesus, maybe the greatest sermon outside of those is the one that Stephen addresses here in Acts chapter 7. Stephen tells these Jewish leaders, "You have always rejected the people whom God has sent." When you reject who God sends, when you reject God's word, you have rejected God. Everybody he has sent, you have rejected. Finally, he sent Jesus, and you rejected him. Now, watch what he says toward the end of this sermon. This is concerning the law of Moses, which the Jews had rejected. Acts chapter 7, look at verse 53. You who receive the law, that's the old law, the law of Moses, Israel. You who receive the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now look at me. The law of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The first five books of the Old Testament, collectively known as the Pentateuch. Brethren, listen to me. The giving of the law of Moses was somehow associated with the role and the work of angels. Now, wait a minute. If you go back to the book of Exodus, where Moses is going up and down Mount Sinai like a mountain climber, there is not one word, there is not one hint in Exodus of angels having anything to do with Moses getting that law. It is not until we come to Acts 7, from Exodus to Acts 7, some 14 1,300 years later, Stephen drops this bombshell that the angels were involved in the delivering and were somehow associated with giving the law of Moses. Now let me tell you what Acts 7:53 does. It sheds great light on Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2, where the writer of Hebrews says that the message, or that the law, which was delivered by angels. We know Hebrews 2:2, that law, that message that was delivered, was the law of Moses, because of what Stephen tells us here in Acts 7 and verse 53. I'm telling you, listen to me, this is big stuff. Angels were involved in the revealing to all the law of Moses. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servant the things which must soon take place. Watch it carefully. He, Jesus, he made known by sending his angel to his servant John. The message of the book of Revelation was a message that came to the apostle John and from God, and was delivered from God to John by angels. Look at the end of the book, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. Revelation 22, verse 16. Jesus said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. Now, look at me and understand what all this is saying to us. The first part of the Bible, Genesis to Deuteronomy, the law of Moses, and the last book of the Bible is here. It is here because angels were directly involved in the process of giving it. Brethren, what I have just explained is a big deal. The spirit beings that we've been discussing and will continue to discuss, the angels were involved in the revealing of the Holy Scriptures, and we have this scripture because of their direct involvement in it. Number two, what do angels do? Number two, angels were greatly involved in the life and the ministry of Jesus. Now, under this heading, I'm going to give you a number of things, and I will list them. Angels were greatly involved in the life and particularly in the ministry of Jesus. Now take note of these things. Number one, the angels announce the coming of the birth of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, they explained it to Joseph. In Luke chapter 1, they explained it to Mary, who was coming. Number 2, the angels announce the day of his birth. In Luke chapter 2 and beginning with verse 8, while the shepherds were in the field tending to their flock, the angels came and told them in verse 11 of Luke 2, this day is born to you the Savior. Number 3, angels came and they ministered to Jesus after his 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, going face to face with the temptation and the devil. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. Number 4, the angels came to Jesus during his great hours of agony in the Garden of Gethsemane just prior to his death. Luke chapter 22 and verse 43. 5, angels were present on resurrection morning. Matthew chapter 28 verse 1 and verse 2. Number 6, angels were there when Jesus ascended back into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Number 7, today, now, presently, ongoingly, the angels are subject to Jesus, and Jesus has authority today over the angels. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. What am I saying? I'm saying, what do angels do? What angels have done is that they have helped in the revealing of that book to us. What I'm saying, what angels do is that they were greatly, can I even say, intimately involved in the life and in the ministry of Jesus. Now let's pause a moment. Let's pause a moment. Is it so far out there to believe that God would so heavily involve angels in the life of his son and then not involve angels in the life of his sons and daughters today? Let me clarify. I don't mean miraculously. We know from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 and following, that the age of miracles has ceased. But don't ever live under the delusion that God only works through miracles. There are a million different ways that God can work in your life and in my life and do it not through a miracle. God can do whatever God gets ready to do if it's in his will. But is it that crazy to believe that they'd be all over the life of Jesus and then would have nothing to do with us? Absolutely not. And we're going to see that. What do angels do? Angels were involved in getting this book to us. What do angels do? They were greatly involved in the life and in the ministry of Jesus. They are constantly involved with him. Number 3. What do angels do? angels will be the source of our transport into the next world. It is angels that will be used as our transport into the next world. Now, I'm going to take something complicated and I'm going to simple it down. And in order to simple it down, I'll use myself as the example. Now, stay with me and you can understand this. Angels rejoiced when I repented of my sins. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. Now look at me. I'm telling you that angels were aware of what I did. I'm telling you that angels know about my faith and my commitment to Jesus. I'm telling you that I brought joy to the angels of heaven when I submitted myself to Jesus Christ and was baptized for the remission of my sins. That brought joy to heaven and that brought joy to the angels. All those years ago, the night that I obeyed the gospel, the President of the United States didn't know I did it. The governor of the state of Michigan didn't know I did it, but the angels knew. And heaven knew. Now, let's fast forward to the day that I die. The moment, the instant, that my spirit leaves my body and I die, at that instant will I be confused. And at that instant will I have questions about what's going on and what is happening and how is this going to happen. Brethren, I will not be confused. And I will not have questions, because the angels that rejoiced with me at my spiritual birth are the precise ones who are then going to take my spirit and carry my spirit into paradise. And I'm telling you, that just doesn't sound like a bad thing. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Verse 22 and 23. The context is a rich man and Lazarus. Verse 22 and 23. The poor man, Lazarus, died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, the abode of the dead, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. Now look at me. God's word has to be read carefully. God's word has to be read carefully. Now look at the contrast here. This poor, helpless, hopeless, hungry, righteous man, Lazarus, dies. God's word has to be read carefully. It has to be read carefully. When he died, what happened to him? He was carried by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. Look carefully at what it says. Look carefully at what it says. Look at the word angel. What do you see in the word angel? What is the last letter in that verse of angels? What's the last letter? Tell me. It's S. What does S on the end of that signify? That it's plural. It wasn't a single angel. I'm telling you, when this righteous man died, there were a plurality of angels who escorted him into the abode of the dead, where there he will remain at peace till the day of judgment. Well, what about the guy that's lost? Well, that tells us something about him too. The guy that's lost is alone. The guy that's lost is in torment. And the guy that's lost, from other passages, his company will be the devil and the devil's demons. What do angels do? They have revealed this book to me, to us. What do angels do? What do? They were greatly involved in the life and the ministry of Jesus. What do angels do? Listen, the angels will serve as my Uber service to get me to the next world. Somebody write that down, because nobody in the history of the world has ever compared angels to an Uber service, but it happened right here on this day, whatever this day is. Write it down. And some of the old heads are thinking, what is Uber, sir? So for you, the angels will serve as my checker cab service to get me to the next world. Number four. What do angels do? What do angels do? The angels will be involved in the day of judgment. The last day. There are three things, listen to me, there are three things that the angel, at least three, that the angels be involved in at the judgment. Number one, the angels will make the announcement that the Lord is coming. They will make the announcement that the Lord is coming. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. Brethren, listen to me. An archangel will announce, an archangel will summons the end of time. As we understand time, it's over. And then, we will all appear before the judgment of Christ and receive an account of the things we've done in our body according to what we've done, whether it was good or bad. On that day, the voice of an archangel will summons the end of time as we have always understood time. Secondly, the angels will be involved in the judgment in that the angels will accompany Jesus when he returns. I want everybody, I want you to see this. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. While you turn there, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm telling you. This could save your soul someday. God could have chosen any way or any means to communicate to us. But God chose to communicate to us through words. So it is important that we know and understand the word. That's why I keep saying the scripture has to be read carefully. This is how God has chosen to communicate. I'm going to communicate my mind to you through words, but we've got to pay attention to the word. Matthew 25, look at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit upon his glorious throne. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from goat. Now, look at me carefully. Those two verses, there's one word in there that haunts me. What I mean haunts me, there's one word in there that gives me great pause to think. I want you to look at it. The word appears in verse 31, and the word is all. A-L-L. Do you see it in verse 31? When the Son of Man returns with all his holy angels. All his holy angels. Now here's why I pause. Two angels. Two were sufficient to go into Sodom and destroy that place and the perversion that was going on in it. One angel, one, was sufficient. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, in one night to kill 185,000 trained soldiers. One angel, one night was sufficient to kill that many people. But when Jesus returns, God Almighty said, I will empty heaven of them and down they will come and I'll take care of business. I'll take care of it. Well, how many angels are they? According to Hebrews 12, they're innumerable. But whatever innumerable is, will be here. Angels will be involved in the judgment. Listen. They will announce his coming. An archangel will say, time is no more. Secondly, heaven will be emptied of all of them when Jesus comes and they will accompany him. Number three, the angels will be involved in judgment in that the angels will serve as the Lord's enforcers. The Lord's enforcers.
I want everybody to turn, and we're going to close here, but I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13, and that's where we're closing. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells the parable of the weeds. Jesus says there was a man who owned a field, and he went out into the field, and he sowed good seed in the field. And then the man went to sleep that night, and while he was sleeping, there was an enemy who came into that field, and he sowed weeds among the good seed. Some of the servants of the man who sowed the good seed came to him and said, "Listen, there are weeds growing up among the wheat. Do you want us to go out there and separate them?" And the man said, "No, let them grow up together." And he said, when the harvest comes, the reapers will go in the field and they will separate the wheat from the weeds, and the weeds will be burned. Are you listening? When everybody left, some of the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Look, explain that to us. What is this parable of wheat and weeds?" Jesus says the man who sowed the good seed, he said, is me. He said the field that it was sowed is the world. He says, the evil one who came later, he said, is the devil. That's why in the world today, we have both good and bad being together. Brethren, even in the church, there are both good and bad together. Everybody who goes to church ain't spiritual. Devil goes to church every Sunday. And the craziest thing in the world, you can't beg some Christians to come to church, and devil don't ever miss. He's more faithful than they are. You welcome? Jesus said, leave them alone. So in the world, you got both good and bad. Jesus says the harvest is the day of judgment. And he says on the day of judgment, he said the reapers, look at verse 41 now and verse 42, Matthew chapter 13, verse 41 and 42. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out his kingdom all causes of sin and lawbreakers, and they will be thrown into the fiery furnace, into that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says the harvest is the day of judgment, and on the day of judgment, the reapers, who are the angels, will go in and they will separate the good from the bad. Listen, it is the angels on the day of judgment that will separate the good from the bad and cast the unsaved into the lake of fire. The angels at the judgment will serve as God's enforcers of this. Now let me close with this so you understand what's coming. I said when I started, angels are all over this. They're all over this book. And from the beginning of it to the end of it, God had angels active, delivering messages and being involved in other things. Now listen to me.
Do we really think that when the revelation of God was completed, when his word was finished, do you honestly think
that God told the angels, now you guys just go over there and sit down. And when this thing is all over, I'll have something else for you to do. And so for 2,000 years, they have been inactive in his providence. If you think that, you need to either introduce yourself or reintroduce yourself to the scriptures. Angels are active in the world today. Not as they were in the ancient world, but through the providence of God. God continues to act in our world through natural laws and through non-miraculous means to carry out his will. The next lesson we look at will involve how angels are engaged in your life and in my life if you are a Christian. The silliest thing that a Christian can ever say is that I'm alone. And I understand that life comes in and we have those moments where that's what we really think. They are continually and actively engaged in the affairs of this world in a non-miraculous way. And God has his hands all over this. This morning, if you're not here, if you're here and if you're not a Christian, listen to me, you're alone. And when you die, you're going to be alone. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can be carried by a plurality of angels to your eternal home. But what you do or don't do this morning, this is on you. This is on you. But from this moment on, you will never stand before God and plead ignorance and say, I just didn't know, because you know. And to know and not do brings the wrath of God. If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sin, if you're living and walking in a way that is contrary to God, wake up. Come to God right now as together we stand and as we sing.